Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to spend our whole time looking at that one verse, because I think that one important thing about the verse is the first word, finally. And finally is what I call a signpost. And I think it's a word that can help us understand a transition point. There are signposts in books that you read, in speeches that you hear. There are words that will indicate either a transition or perhaps it's coming to a close. I've said in speech classes that I've taught that if you say in your speech, in conclusion, you'd better conclude. Because I've heard people that have said that and they talk for 20 minutes. When you say in conclusion, everyone is checked out. They consider the fact you're done. This is a word, when you come to the word finally, I think, and we're going to look at some other verses where Paul uses this. When you use this word, and I think it's true with Paul, that you are now about to make some points you want people to remember. Again, talking about speeches, I have told students that if there's something you want people to remember, say it last. Don't start with it. Say it last. And you can use a signpost like this where Paul says, finally. So we're coming to the final words, the final points that he wants to make. And he's about to start something very important, and that's about spiritual warfare. And so this is the way that he starts when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now see, this is at the very end of 2 Corinthians, and he uses that word there also, finally. And notice the things that he says, finally, brethren, farewell. So this is it. This is the end of the writing. Then he says, be perfect. These are the points that he wants to leave with them for sure. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. And this was a theme that he has written to the Corinthians several times when he talks about them, the need to be of one mind and not be divided. Live in peace. And so these, again, are things that he's saying that you take responsibility to do this. Live in peace. It's like a choice that you can make now to live in peace. Then the result, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. This is how he's ending it. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Finally. Now, he had a few other things to say when he says finally here. But when you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, He says it again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that same theme is sort of there, and here he's ending when he says, finally, these are the things to think about. Find these things and think on these things. And then in verse 9, he gives the things you've learned, received, and heard, and seen in me. Do. And again, the result, the God of peace shall be with you. Said the same thing, something similar in Corinthians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. So there he uses the word again, finally, and here it's asking them for prayer. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Because this is where truth is, and that was what he was concerned with, giving the word of the Lord. So finally, again, it's the way that he is ending. This is what he wants them to remember. And so it is, I think, here in Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, here's the important thing now. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's also, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he also uses this word. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. This is very similar language, and as he's writing to kingdom believers, this is something he's wanting them to know, something to remember. Be ye all of one mind. And compassion, love, pitiful, and you know, this is one of those old King James words, old English words, pitiful. We might look at something and say, well, that's really pitiful, and it has a negative connotation. But when he's saying be pitiful, he's saying show pity, and it goes along with that. The next thing he says, be courteous, and really to be show someone mercy. And in that way, you are being pitiful and courteous. And it's something good. It's something positive. But he uses it because, it's that signpost, finally. Listen to these things. These are the important things. Then back to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, be strong. And I think that that's a command. Be strong. And when we're told something like that, obviously we must be able to do it. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the book of Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, 1. And we're talking about strength now. If we're going to be strong. Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He spent chapter 14 of Romans talking about liberty and how you might have freedom to do something that someone else, maybe their conscience, doesn't allow them to do it. They think it is wrong. And so we start to think, well, they're weak in faith and I'm strong. And he starts chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. This is a measurement of how strong you are. It's how you react to so-called weak believers. And one of the things I've mentioned before about liberty, that often we think we have liberty to do something. I heard someone say this once. Said, well, if they don't think it's okay to do, that's their problem. No, it's not. For you to insist upon a liberty to be able to do something is your problem now. Because our concern is to be for those that we would consider weak in faith. And perhaps don't have the same level of so-called level of maturity that we do. And this is what he's saying here. We then that are strong. Are you strong? Do you think you're strong? Then you ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Not to please ourselves. Don't look out for your own pleasure or what suits you, but you should be pleasing others. That's the measurement of strength. Measurement of strength is how you approach and deal with others that you think are not as strong as you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Interesting verse. The things that he says to watch, stand fast, and then this phrase, quit you like men. And that's a phrase that gives a lot of problems to people because they say, oh, what in the world does he mean by that? Quit you like men. Look at this verse back in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 9. This is with the Philistines. First Samuel 4:9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And I think the equivalent of that is man up. You ever hear someone say that today? Well, man up. It's like pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get it done. Do it. Don't be afraid. Quit yourselves like men. Quit you like men. Just do it. Be strong. And the exhortation from Corinthians, what Paul is saying is be strong. Just do it. Do what needs to be done. Then back to 2 Corinthians again, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, looking at strength, here he's saying, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Now we're looking at a paradoxical thing here. Strength comes in weakness. And so Paul is talking about, well, if his strength is going to be shown in my weakness, he says, I'm glad to have all these problems. I'm glad to have the persecutions, the reproaches, infirmities, all of that. I'm glad for that. Because now God is able to demonstrate his strength. So when he is giving that exhortation to be strong in the Lord, I can do it just because I know He's strong. He's the one that is strong. And even though I might be weak, His strength is going to come through. Because we're always remember, He dwells inside of us. And I've often wondered this, and I asked this question once to Tracy Plessinger. And you know, you hear a lot of believers talk about how, well, God did this, and God did this through me, and so forth. And can we say that? And I think I've reached the conclusion is, yeah, I think we can, because He dwells inside of us, and He wants to live through us. And if we go out and say, well, I'm going to be strong, then He's the one that's going to get credit for it. Yeah, it's me. I'm the one doing it, but if he dwells inside of me, it's His work. And if I know that within me, I'm weak, I don't have the ability, but yet I go and I do it, it's Him. He's going to get the credit for that. He's going to get the honor for that because He's the one doing it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, this is a source of strength, grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, if a believer has not understood the grace of God, that becomes a source of just allowing themselves to be pounded into the ground and become unuseful. Think, well, God's just not going to do anything for me. I don't deserve anything. I'm not living like I should, so they don't look for anything like that to happen. But here, strength is in grace. I understand grace. Yeah, I don't deserve it. Don't deserve it, but yet God in His grace, look what He has done, so I'm going to be strong in the grace of God. Because I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, but He has chosen to do it, so that's my source of strength. Now, his other word that he used there in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the word, there are a couple words that we're going to look at, power and then might, because a lot of people are looking for power. They want to see a demonstration of the power of God. When I was a young believer, this is what a lot of people talked about. Well, we want to see the power. We don't want just a dead meeting. We want to see the power of God and have the power of God fall. And so I want to look at that word and that word might, which is a very interesting word. If you go back to the book of Acts, we're going to go through Acts real quick here. Acts chapter 1. Verse 7. Acts 1:7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice in verse 7 and 8, you have the word power, and it's almost like the first one, the Father had put in His own power, His choice, He's in control, shall see power, something power after that Holy Ghost. Chapter 3 of Acts, verse 12, Peter saw answered unto the men of Israel, why get this, or why so earnestly on us, as though by our power holy we made to walk. Was not our power, it is. Chapter 4, 7. It set them in the day, them asked what power, or by what name, have you there having a hour? And then how did you do this to accomplish this? Verse 8 hours gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Chapter 5, verse 4, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. And not in thine own power, it was in your hand, your choice, your freedom to choose. Chapter 6, verse 8, Acts 6:8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Chapter 8, verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. This is Simon, seeing what's happening, thinking that he could almost buy the power of what he was seeing being done. So he mistook it for something else. Chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I find it interesting. We have all these verses about power and the things they were doing because of the power of God upon them. But the word now does not make an appearance until chapter 26 of Acts. 26, verse 18, and Paul is speaking to Agrippa. He's telling him about his experience on the road to Damascus and what he saw and what was said to him. In chapter 26, verse 18, this is what he was to do, to open their eyes. He's being sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now this word, same word, but it seems to designate something else now. Because it was up to the last one we had in chapter 10, it was all about the power and the miracles that were happening among them and things that were being done. Now it's turning these Gentiles from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And definitely, speaking there of control, they're being controlled by Satan to turn them to God. And I can remember as a young believer, everybody wanted the power that was in the book of Acts. And I look at that, and we looked at those verses and the things that were being done, and I think, well, right in the midst of that, that power was demonstrated in chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. And all they did was tell a little lie. And I think, is that the power you want now? Who would be left? If the power is going to kill people, that was the result of that. And I think you're not understanding something here. Something is different. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 4, we're still looking at this word, power. Romans 1:4, and declared to, about Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I like that verse because there, to me, power of God is defined. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Because that mission that he was given to turn Gentiles from the power of Satan to God, this is the power that does it, the gospel of Christ. And someone says, well, I want to see a demonstration of the power of God. The best demonstration we have is that of a changed life. Someone who now believes what Jesus Christ did on the cross counts for me, and my destiny now is different. It's changed. That's the power of God. That's the power that needs to be demonstrated. That's the power that is true power today. And as I said, so many want to run after miracles and signs and wonders, but this is the power of God. This is how someone goes from the power of Satan to God Himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. Again, that's what is in the gospel of Christ. The preaching of the cross and what was accomplished on the cross, what it did for us. That's the power of God. That's the true power, someone believing that fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. We've seen this message before. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So that's the verse right before we look at verse 10. His strength is going to be made perfect in weakness. And this is the answer. You know, this is the passage where Paul says there was this thorn in the flesh and three times I asked God to remove it. And this was the answer. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God says, my grace is going to take care of you. And so Paul says, oh, I'm going to glory in that then, because his strength is going to be made perfect in my weakness. Though he's saying, God, please remove this, take this away from me. And he just, God says, well, you have my grace. And that was enough. That was the answer. In chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. Power of God. Again, you see the association there of weakness, weakness on our part. But He has the power. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Notice how two things there are put together: power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. Again, everyone wanting to see the power, and we know there's power in his resurrection, but he puts that with fellowship of his sufferings. It's that same idea again, that there's going to be weakness on our part, but his strength is going to be made perfect. And then he said, we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, when you read the word might, the verse in which you find is going to give the meaning of it, because the word might is just used all over the place. Often it is used as something that will give permission so that this might happen. Some ability that's going to happen because of something else. But you see, there's another thing about the word might, that it speaks of strength. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This, you know, I like this verse because if there's something to be done, do it with your might. Use your strength. Do it. In the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, verse 14. Judges 6:14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? About Gideon, what God is saying to Gideon. Go in this thy might. This is your strength. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 21, about Christ. Ephesians 1:21. It's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Far above principality, power, and might. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is something he has for us that is a source of strength. And again, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians 1:11. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. There are the words might and power together. Second Peter chapter 2. verse 11. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might not bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Greater in power and might. And Revelation chapter 7. Verse 12. Saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. So in these cases, the word might is speaking of His strength, His power. And you can also find the verses where it speaks of might or mights being spirit forces. That He's far above all of that, and we've been placed in Him, so we are far above all of those powers, dominion, mights also. So I think this is why He can say it. As I said, He's starting out to talk about spiritual warfare that we have. He can say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then He's going to continue. He's going to talk about the armor that we have. What is it that's going to assist us in being strong and understanding the power of His might? Those are the things that He will list. So when we read the Scripture, look for the signpost. There's an indication there of something that's important, and it's almost like, pay attention to this. Listen to what's going to be said. And then He gives a command, be strong. Be strong. We must be able to do it. We wouldn't have said that. And the strength is in His power. Let's pray.